This shiur is the introduction to the set of Sforim that's called Likutei Halachos, the main Sforim of Rav Nosson Zal, the main student of Rabbi Nachman. Before we begin, we dedicate this shiur for the Refuah Shelema of a little boy, Eliyahu Mordechai ben Kalanit Ziva, hurt this morning, needs a Refuah Shelema. The learning that we're doing and that we're going to do should be for Refuah Shelema. He should be healthy in all Ramach Evorim, all Shesagidin, all 248 organs, 365 tendons. Shbizrecha to grow to be a Yerei Shemayim, a Talmud Chacham, a true Breslov HaChosid, Mitzvah Shem. Before we begin this series, I'd like to give an introduction a little bit as to where this is coming from. During the time of the Tanoim, the great rabbis of the Mishnah, one of the outstanding Tanoim was the Tana Elokai Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, who was a student of Rabbi Akiva, the main student of Rabbi Akiva, in a sense, to the extent that when Rabbi Akiva was about to pass away, and he was appointing the leadership to take over after his passing, he told Rabbi Meir that he would be the Rosh Yeshiva. And when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal looked at Rabbi Akiva surprised, Rabbi Akiva's response was, "Your greatness, only Hashem and I really know," making it perfectly clear that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal's greatness was something very unique. And we know that even though the secrets of Torah were studied from the beginning of time by Odom HaRishon, by Avraham Avinu was actually the author of the Sefer Yetzirah, which is one of the deepest foundation Sforim of Kabbalah, still, until the time of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, no one was given permission to put it in writing for the public, in a sense. And even Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal and his students, who were so outstanding, so special, they were considered to be the tikkun for the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva who passed away, because they did not have the proper respect and loving relationship between them, whereas Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal and his students were able to proclaim Anan b'chavivusa talya milsa. Our success is dependent on and based on the mutual respect and love that exists between us. So they were given permission to write many of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal's shiurim, what he learned in the cave in the 13 years from angels, from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Neshama's souls in heaven that came to study with him, the Tikkunei Zohar, the Zohar HaKadosh in all of its sections. And still, in the Zohar HaKadosh, it's written that this Sefer will now be hidden away until the appropriate time when it'll be discovered and be able to start being publicized. And that this Sefer, the Zohar HaKadosh, will spearhead the Jewish people exiting from the exile. And sure enough, years later, the Zohar HaKadosh was discovered in a cave. There was a little bit of controversy and conflict. There were some people who wanted to say that maybe it's not authentic, maybe it wasn't really written by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal. Actually, when we say written by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, his student, Rabbi Abba, who is also known as Rav in the Gemara, he was the actual scribe. He was the one who actually wrote down the Zohar HaKadosh. Rabbi Elozar, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal's son, and Rabbi Abba were the closest of his students. But the vast majority of the Chachmei Yisrael, upon looking, reviewing the Zohar HaKadosh as they saw it, realized that this was 100% the word of Hashem as passed on to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal and his students, and accepted the Sefer and learned it and passed it on to their students, to generations, until in the 1500s, along came the Arizal, the Ari HaKadosh, Rabbeinu Yitzchok ben Shloimoy Luria, who opened up new doors, brand new doors. Because even though the Zohar HaKadosh, majority of it, approximately 70 to 75% of the Zohar HaKadosh, is not Kabbalah. It's halachic discussions like we find in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, and also stories, agodos. But the part that is Kabbalah, a lot of it was completely closed. And people were unable to understand it properly until the Arizal came along and opened it wide open and gave introductions to the study of the geography of heaven, as Rav Rosenfels used to refer to it. He and his closest student, Reb Chaim Vital Zal, made available Sforim that really opened up for Klal Yisrael in a big way the limud, the study of the Zohar HaKadosh, to be able to be studied by the leaders of Klal Yisrael, both in the Ashkenazic world and in the Sephardic world. This took place in the 1600s. And then in the 1700s, the Jewish people, especially in Europe, in Russia, found themselves in a situation where there was a major division in Klal Yisrael. There was a small percentage of Jews that were studying Torah full-time in elitist yeshivas and had a very strong connection to Hashem via the Torah Kedosha. The majority of the Jewish people at the time who were not studying in those elite yeshivas were pretty much left out. And there was a major schism developing between them because the people who were not part of the yeshivas had no real strong connection to Hashem, to Yiddishkeit. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Rabbi Yisrael Reb Eliezer, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem, who lived in Polish Russia, we would call it, the Carpathian Mountains, brought about an awakening in Klal Yisrael, and he brought new life to thousands of Jews who felt disconnected from the Torah because they were not part of those elite yeshivas, and he was able to present Yiddishkeit in a way that every single Jew, from the most learned, the most advanced Talmid Chachamim Tzadikim, to the simplest of the Jewish people, the shoemakers and the weavers and those, were able to feel totally connected to Hashem. The Baal Shem Tov had students who were among the top leadership of Klal Yisrael at the time, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, who was one of the ones who documented a lot of what he had heard from the Baal Shem Tov in his Sefer Toldos Yaakov Yosef, and other great Rabbonim, Lomdim, Talmidei Chachamim, who had a deep, close relationship with the Baal Shem Tov, along with all kinds of simple people and even criminals, whom the Baal Shem HaKadosh was able to be Mekarev and Mechaye, give them new life, make them feel totally connected to Hashem, and be able to pass this on to their families, to their friends, a deep connection to Hashem that came through tefillah, through chesed, tzedakah, avodas Hashem, in whatever ways they were able to do this. The light of the Baal Shem Tov was continued through his main student, the Mezritcha Magid, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, who took over the mantle of leadership after him, and also, in addition, the many students of the Baal Shem Tov, tens, maybe 50, 60, who became leaders, Rabbonim, in different cities, different places in Klal Yisrael, each one of them unique and outstanding in different areas of Yiddishkeit. Some were outstanding in tefillah, some were outstanding in tzedakah, chesed, each one powerful, spreading the teachings and the light of the Baal Shem Tov as they had received it as a means of injecting life into Klal Yisrael at that time. After having gone through the pogroms of Tach V'Tat, 1648, 1649, after having gone through false Moshiachs, and we find that each one of these leading tzaddikim, starting from Moshe Rabbeinu, not just starting from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, experienced certain major opposition during their lifetime. Moshe Rabbeinu had his koirach and his misoinenim, all the troubles and turbulence that he experienced from the Jewish people throughout the 40 years in the desert, and even before that in Egypt when Dothan v'Aviram tried to get him killed by Paro and he had to run for his life, he had to leave Egypt at a very young age. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal was forced to hide in a Beis Medrash for a short period of time and in the cave for 13 years, again because of people who, to a certain degree, had an opposition for him and went and told over to the Roman government a statement that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal had made, which put them in a negative light, which forced him to experience incredible, incredible physical suffering, being in a cave alone with his son Rabbi Elazar for 13 years. The Arizal, during his lifetime, had opposition for all kinds of reasons because of the fact that he was a chidush. He was bringing news, major news, to Klal Yisrael in the revelations that he did, revealing the clarity of the Zohar HaKadosh that he revealed, besides everything he added to that. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, unfortunately, coming shortly after the false Mashiachs, the Shatz, we don't even want to mention his name, and others, there were many leaders of Klal Yisrael who assumed that any Jew who was shaking up the Jewish people in the way the Baal Shem Tov was could also easily be another false Moshiach, and opposed him for that reason also, even before really examining who he was. And then after the Baal Shem Tov, after tens of years of his students distributing his light to a degree, by the time Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman Mibreslov, Rabbi Nachman ben Feger, as he is most known, and also his father's name was Reb Simcha. By the time Rabbeinu Zal came around, who was a great-grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, the light of the Baal Shem Tov had started receding already, had started weakening. And again, the Jewish people were falling into a state of sleep, many of them, thousands of them, because of the fact that, the Torah was being studied by a small percentage of the Jewish people in depth, but the vast majority were not really connected. Rabbeinu Zal, as we'll refer to him, the great-grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, his mother was Feger, her mother was Odel, the famous daughter of the Baal Shem Tov. Rabbeinu Zal, from a very young age, started rising, a meteoric rise in Torah and in serving Hashem, as is described a little bit, to a degree, in the Shvochei Horan, the biography that we have of his life, in the Shvochei Horan, in the Chaim Horan, which his student Rav Nosson Zal put together. We get a picture of a brand new light coming to the world to revive and restore the powerful light that the Baal Shem Tov had introduced to the world, and to add to it in an incredible way. And even though he lived in the world physically a short life, 38 years, similar to the Ari HaKodesh, the Arizal, the Ramchal, Rosh Chaim Litzato, many of the Jewish leaders lived short lives, and yet left an awesome impact in the world. So that even though he passed away in the year Tov Kuf Ayin Aleph, 200 years ago, this year is being given the day after Shavuos, Zayin Sivan, Tov Shin Ayin Aleph. Even though Rabbeinu Zal passed away 200 years ago, he made it clear to his students that his light would continue until the Moshiach, and that there would not be another new leader of his type, somebody who would bring news to the world of the magnitude that Rabbeinu Zal did, until Moshiach's coming. Rabbeinu Zal was privileged to have a student, Rav Nosson Zal, Rav Nosson Minemerov, who grew up in a family that was opposed to the Hasidim, as was the case of thousands of religious families at that time. Rav Nosson Zal's father was a major Talmud Chacham, a successful businessman. He had everything, everything. The family had honor, wealth, Torah, and Rav Nosson Zal's greatness was recognized at a young age. At the age of 12, 13 years old, his father-in-law, Reb David Zvi Auerbach, who was one of the leading rabbis in Polish Russia at that time, saw the potential in Rav Nosson Zal and took him as a son-in-law at the age of 13, prepared to groom him to take over the position of his father-in-law after his passing, to be a major leader in Klal Yisrael. And yet, Rav Nosson Zal, at the age of about 16, teamed up with a chavrusa who was from a Hasidic family, and at first they went through many debates, strong debates, arguing the benefits of Hasidus, the benefits and the faults, with Rav Nosson Zal being very, very strong in his opposition to the Hasidim, as he had received from his own family and especially from his father-in-law, who felt it was important enough to speak to his sons-in-law on a daily basis about how dangerous it is to be close to the Hasidim and to try to do everything in his power to keep them far away. And yet Rav Nosson Zal tells us that after months of debating, he started realizing that his chavrusa was right. He started realizing the superiority of the Hasidic masters over the other major Torah leaders at the time, including his father-in-law. Rav Nosson Zal, before he was introduced to Hasidus, said that he found it difficult to understand what Moshe Rabbeinu had over his father-in-law. That's the kind of deep respect he had for his father-in-law's greatness in Torah and in serving Hashem. But upon realizing and recognizing the unique advantages and greatness of the Hasidic masters in certain areas of Yiddishkeit, Rav Nosson Zal began a six-year search, going from one to another of the leading Hasidic masters at that time, including Reb Levi Yitzchok Barditchev, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and others, spending quality time by each one of them, and developing a close relationship with each one of them, and yet not feeling completely satisfied, not feeling that he had found the place which would be able to provide him with religious inspiration for his entire life, to keep him going at a nuclear speed and power growing in all areas of serving Hashem. Until, at one point, when Rav Nosson Zal was very, very broken about this and feeling very low, the story is told that on a Motzoi Shabbos, on a Saturday night, when a group of students of one of the Hasidic masters would get together for Malav HaMalka, and they would send out one of them to go buy bread for the Malav HaMalka, Rav Nosson Zal was chosen to be the one to go, and he went, and yet, coming after a Shabbos, which is a special high, Rav Nosson Zal was feeling very broken, feeling that he's not yet getting what he really needs to be able to feel fulfilled spiritually in a rabbi, from a rabbi, from a tzaddik. And Rav Nosson Zal, feeling so broken about this, went into a shul, a local shul, went into the ladies section where there was nobody there, and started reciting Tehillim from the depths of his broken heart at the time, crying. And he got through the first 50 chapters of Tehillim, and then fell to the ground, exhausted, totally wiped out, because he had put every iota of his energy into it, the way a Jew is supposed to when they're davening, kol atzmoisai toimarna, to be speaking to Hashem with all the organs of my body, from head to toe. And it was then that Rav Nosson Zal had a dream. In the dream, he saw himself. He saw a very tall ladder in front of him that seemed to reach up to heaven. And he started trying to climb this ladder, and he tried once, got to a certain height, and fell. And when he fell, it hurt. Then he got up, started climbing again, went a little bit higher than the first time, and fell again. Then he did this a third time, going higher, seeming to start taking off, and fell again, and this time feeling completely broken. And it was then that he saw a young man in his dream who said to him the words, drop a sich und der halzich, meaning, keep trying, and hang in there, hold on, don't quit, don't give up. And almost a year later, when Rav Nosson Zal was first introduced to Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Nachman originally had lived quite a distance from Rav Nosson Zal, and he moved several times, Rabbi Nachman, and he moved to an area of about 12 to 15 miles from where Rav Nosson Zal lived. Rav Nosson Zal at that time lived in the city of Nemirov. Rabbi Nachman moved to the city of Breslov at the time, and Rav Nosson Zal found out about this from people who had gone to visit, to check out this new rabbi in the locale. And Rav Nosson Zal observed a major change in these people. After spending a few days with Rabbi Nachman, he saw them come back with completely new atomic energy in their tefillah, in their Torah. This was Elul, the month of Elul, which is a time when Jews in general are trying to be more spiritual. And Rav Nosson Zal saw how deeply these people who had met Rabbi Nachman had been affected. So he decided to go meet him with his close friend Rav Naftali Zal and others. And upon meeting Rabbi Nachman, he remembered the dream and remembered that this was the young man he had seen in the dream. And then began a connection that continued for 8 years, whereby Rav Nosson Zal developed a closeness, even though there were many other students who knew Rabbi Nachman before Rav Nosson Zal and who were older than Rav Nosson Zal. Some of them were already knowledgeable in Kabbalah, and yet still, Rabbi Nachman made it perfectly clear that this was the student who would be responsible to see to it that all of his teachings, as much as possible, would be written down and would be made available for generations until the coming of Moshiach. He was the one who wrote the majority of the Shurim of the Likutei Moran, the Sipurei Maaseiyos, and most of what we have from Rabbeinu Zal. And then, shortly after his Iskarvus, after he became close to Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Nachman instructed him to learn, to begin studying Kabbalah, and to start being Mechadesh in Torah, to start writing down thoughts that he would have in the Torah that he would learn, using Rabbi Nachman's Shurim, Rabbi Nachman's teachings, as an overlay on the Shulchan Aruch and on everything else he would learn. And today we're privileged to have this set of Sfarim, the Likutei Halachos. There have been different printings of it. The standard printing is 8 volumes, 3 volumes of Orach Chaim, 2 of Yoredeya, 1 of Evan Ezer, and 2 of Choshen Mishpat, which covers about 4,000 pages. And this is only the majority of Rav Nosson Zal's writings. A great deal was lost during different times of turbulence and difficulty that he had during his lifetime. And these Sforim, Likutei Halacha, Simyetz Hashem, will start the introduction now, are very unique in their greatness. My rabbi, Zichron Avrocha, who was Reb Tzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, himself a descendant, a direct descendant, of one of the leading students of Rabbi Nachman, Reb Aaron Zal, who was actually the Rav, the Posek, of the city of Breslov, where Rabbi Nachman spent approximately 7 of the last 8 years of his life. This Reb Aaron Zal has a lot to say about him himself, the deep respect and love that Rabbi Nachman had for him, and Rabbi Rosenfeld Zal was one of the leading teachers of Rabbi Nachman's teachings in the United States, in New York, New Jersey area, during the 1960s and 70s especially, taught many students, and was privileged to start recording shiurim in Breslov teachings in the English language, including the entire Likutei Moran, a series of about 140 shiurim, covering the entire Likutei Moran in English, the Shvachei Aran, Sichei Saran, part of the Sipurei Maisius, and a series of shiurim in Ein Yaakov and in Novi, which were also flavored very much by the teachings of Rabbi Nachman. I had the privilege of meeting him at the age of about 16 years old and spending almost 8 years learning from him, and after his passing, had the privilege of coming close to one of the Breslov leaders in Eretz Yisrael, originally from Russia, Reb Michal Dorfman, Zichron Avracha, for almost 30 years, Baruch Hashem, and a lot of the explanations, a lot of the clarity in the teachings of Rabbeinu Zal, Rab Nosson Zal, is based on the teachings that we were privileged to hear from these rabbis, together with many of the other leading rabbis in Breslov, including Reb Eliochayim Rosen, Zichron Avracha, who was also originally from the Uman group in the early 1900s, and eventually moved to Eretz Yisrael and founded the Breslov Shul, the original Breslov Shul and Kollel, in the heart of Mea Shorim, Yeshiva Sor HaNe'elam. And together with the other rabbis that I had the privilege to learn from were Reb Nachman Borstein, the son of Reb Moshe Borstein, both Baruch Hashem still alive and well in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph that was speaking, were also among the people who received a lot from Reb Avrom Sternhartz, Reb Avrom Kochavlev Zal, a great grandson of Reb Nosson Zal, one of the leading Breslov teachers in Uman and eventually in Eretz Yisrael. He arrived in Eretz Yisrael at the age of 73, and the final 20 years of his life lived in Yerushalayim and taught many of the leaders of Breslov, those who eventually went on to become leaders of Breslov in the next generation. Many of them were his students. We now begin the introduction to the Likutei Halachos.